satisfy your celluloid addiction with the Cinema Junkie podcast, where you can mainline film with the people who make them, as well as those who love them, program them, and celebrate them for their cultural impact. Listen to Cinema Junkie wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, February 10th. Debates over paying to park in Balboa Park seem to be far from over. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Super Bowl 60 has now come and gone, but some local congratulations are definitely still in order. As first reported by CBS 8, Seahawks kicker and two-time Pro Bowler Jason Myers is an alumnus of Chula Vista's Mater Dei Catholic High School. And this past Super Bowl Sunday, the NFL says Myers set a record for kickers in a Super Bowl. He made his first four field goals, which gave his team a comfy 12-0 lead. However, history was officially made once Myers made his fifth, which set a Super Bowl record and sealed the win for the Seahawks. Congratulations also go out to wide receiver and kick return specialist Rashid Shaheed, who played varsity football at Mount Carmel High School. Nearly two-thirds of Americans feel that efforts coming from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has, quote, gone too far. That's according to a poll put together by NPR, PBS, and Marist, asking Americans how they would describe the action ICE is taking when enforcing immigration laws. This comes in the wake of two fatal shootings of U.S. citizens in Minnesota at the hands of federal immigration agents. The poll also shows President Donald Trump's disapproval rating being the highest it's been since just after the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. There's also a very clear divide among party lines on the issue. 91% of Democrats disapprove of ICE's actions, while 73% of Republicans support and approve of the job ICE is doing. Temperatures across the county will take a cooler turn this week. Forecasters say mountain area temperatures will land in the mid-50s. Coastal zones will be partly cloudy with highs in the mid-60s. And of course, our deserts, on average, will be the warmest in the early part of the week, with average highs landing in the upper 60s. There is a chance of light showers this evening near the coast, as well as into Wednesday. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
San Diego County is known for being one of America's most expensive regions. Locals are feeling the squeeze and looking for solutions. KPBS's new series, Price of San Diego, delves into the rising cost of groceries, childcare, car insurance, and even our beloved California burrito. You won't want to miss this ongoing series live now at kpbs.org/priceofsandiego.
San Diego is expanding free parking for city residents in Balboa Park, but the debate over parking fees continues. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says some advocates are pushing for better ways to access Balboa Park without a car.
Getting to Balboa Park car-free may not be the norm, but it's far from impossible. Two bus routes go directly to the park. Several others stop within a block or two. And the park is served by multiple protected bike lanes that have opened up in recent years. Leif Gensert is vice president of the transit advocacy group RideSD. He says the city should do more to help visitors avoid the parking fees altogether.
So even if the city is not able to make any money available to improve public transport, we want to see the city making a stance, messaging that. We don't even see anything like the mayor taking the bus as kind of a marketing campaign. So there's lots of things that the city could do without additional budget to promote public transport.
Starting next month, verified city residents will be able to park for free in 7 of Balboa Park's 12 parking lots, and parking will be free for everyone after 6 p.m. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
The Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers' strike is in its third week. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says yesterday, hundreds of pharmacy and laboratory workers joined them on the picket lines.
About 500 pharmacy technicians, clinical laboratory scientists, and other lab workers walked out Monday morning. They're joining nurses and healthcare professionals who are already on strike against Kaiser Permanente. They are asking for higher staff levels and better pay.
It was difficult to walk out today.
Erin Ellengard is a clinical lab scientist at Kaiser. She says understaffing in laboratories creates risks for patients.
Whether it's diagnosing a heart attack or a blood clot, they need to be able to have access to those laboratory results. And if we don't have enough people working in the laboratory, it's hard on those of us that are there.
Kaiser says they are disappointed that the union chose to strike knowing the effect it could have on patient care. Union leaders say national contract negotiations have been stalled since December. The strike is planned to last 3 days, but they reserve the right to extend it if necessary. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
San Diego County's Department of Animal Services continues to undergo staffing changes this year. Reporter Elaine Alfaro says another top-ranking official has now stepped down.
Vaughn Maurice was director of the county's Animal Services Department for about a year and a half. The county confirmed his departure as of last week, but would not provide details on the circumstances. This is the second high-ranking official in the last 2 weeks to exit the department. Maurice's departure comes just after the county cut ties with Rachel Borelli, the department's second in command. KPBS uncovered a voice message from Borelli in which she made crude and disparaging statements about dogs in the county's care. Previously, KPBS reported on a skyrocketing dog euthanasia rate in county shelters and the department's poor record-keeping practices. A county spokesperson declined an interview request but sent a statement. Quote, Vaughn Maurice has left the county of San Diego. We appreciate his service and we are grateful for the dedication of the animal services employees who provide compassionate care to shelter animals, promote adoptions and responsible pet ownership, and provide public safety. End quote. Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
Haircuts are one of the many added expenses that come with having kids. In this week's installment of Price of San Diego, reporter Katie Anastas introduces us to a La Mesa family saving money snip by snip.
When COVID shuttered local businesses and public spaces, many of us learned how to do things ourselves. Evan Scheingross started cutting his kids' hair.
I really just kind of jumped into this blind and learned as I go, and it's been good enough, so I'm like, okay, let's keep rolling with it.
His sons, Riley and Caleb, are now 11 and 8. Scheingross estimates they're saving around $60 each time he cuts their hair.
Look down.
In the beginning, he draped a towel over his son's shoulders. Now he's upgraded to a barber cape.
Boom, look at that. It looks profesh when I flip it out like a real barber.
And like professional barbers, he has to keep up with style preferences. In the first few years, Riley wanted a shorter cut.
There was a phase where he was very into Top Gun, so he wanted sort of like the Top Gun style cut.
Riley likes his hair a little longer now. So does Caleb.
How long do you want to keep it right now?
Mark Hoppus of Blink 182. Scheingross leaves enough long hair for Caleb to stick up at the front. Riley says his dad's technique has improved over the years.
Like he knows what he's doing.
All right, yeah. I know what I'm doing.
Well enough to keep this backyard barbershop open for business. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
February is Black History Month, but when it comes to the arts, there is one San Diego institution that elevates the Black experience all year long. In our Museum of Month for February, reporter John Carroll introduces us to the San Diego African American Museum of Fine Art.
In a typical-looking art gallery, you find the latest exhibition from the San Diego African American Museum of Fine Art, San Diego's Lost Neighborhoods.
This is our base. This is our home.
Gaidi Finney is the museum's executive director.
We're responsible to the community as well as the arts. So we do things that are responsible to the community, which is what this is. So that's why it's important to the San Diego history and the San Diego African American Museum of Fine Art.
We did not meet Finney in their building because they don't have one.
We are a museum without walls, always have been from the time before me when it was Shirley Day Williams who ran it. It was also a museum without walls. It went dormant in 1998 or 9 for a while, and I reopened it, if you will, in 2014. So it's been like 12 years since, but always as a museum without walls.
But the museum obviously needs space to present exhibits, so they work with other museums, places that provide the physical space. The gallery where we met him is in the San Diego History Center.
We are not a collecting institution for the very reason that we don't have a building. However, we do have storage, and people are continuously wanting to give us things. We have a large African art collection.
Finney says while it would be nice for the museum to have their own building someday, it is not a pressing aspiration. There are advantages to being a museum without walls.
As a lifelong nonprofit administrator person, I've just seen so many times when they can't keep up with the expenses of having a building. So you have to have enough income on a regular basis to sustain the electricity, or the monthly payments, or the gas, or the lights. All of that stuff is important. You have to have it, but if you have to pay that, where's that money coming from?
And Finney says there are other good reasons not to be tied to a building.
It's a blessing in one sense, because we have been able to work with all the museums. And the reason is, because we're a fine art museum, we could only go in certain places that have the climate control, security, and all that kind of thing to bring excellent art here.
And not having a building can lead to some out-of-the-box thinking when it comes to exhibits. San Diego's Lost Neighborhoods is actually two distinct exhibits, the one you see all around you and the other you get to through your phone. It's called Augmented Reality. Circles on the floor are, in essence, QR codes, leading you to see exhibits that are around you in the virtual world.
You overlay history onto the real world, and so you feel like you're going back in time, but just through your phone. It's a wonderful way to showcase art anywhere in the world.
In fact, the San Diego African American Museum of Fine Art has and continues to exhibit artwork far from its home city.
We have exhibits right now in Africa. We have exhibits in New York, and working on other places.
Back to this gallery, San Diego's Lost Neighborhoods. Apart from being an important piece of this city's overall history, it syncs well with the museum's role of revealing the struggle Black people have experienced. Here, through the graphic art of showing how freeways broke up various minority communities, one sign says, "A white man's freeway versus a Black community." Finney says the museum got invaluable help in the significant amount of research it took to bring all this to life.
I got involved with UCSD students who did a lot of research on this, and it was amazing research that they did. And then we started to pick apart all the various things that's happened to these neighborhoods.
Next up for the San Diego African American Museum of Fine Art, the annual Keepers of the Culture exhibition and honors program, highlighting members of San Diego's Black community that have played an important role in shaping Black culture here, all the while proving museums don't need four walls to display fine art. John Carroll, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Your celluloid addiction with the Cinema Junkie podcast, where you can mainline film with the people who make them, as well as those who love them, program them, and celebrate them for their cultural impact. Listen to Cinema Junkie wherever you get your podcasts.